the group because they had gone to Joseph and Andrew's group before and then quit coming to the group. And then I don't remember who asked them to come, but they ended up getting invited to our group again. And, you know, for whatever reason, timing or comfort or whatever, stuck with our group. And they've been with our group for a couple of years now. So we had them. A lot of the women invite people to group. You know, if they have, you know, whatever, threw over to connections and mops and things like that. So, you know, we invite a lot of people. The women, they get people to come. So that's good. So we get a lot of people through that, through like mops or their kids' activities and things like that. So yeah, that's great. So we pray for them. So I'll take that part of but the women invite a lot of people to group. And then we move. Every time we've moved, just by moving into a new neighborhood, we got out of the Johnson's group that kind of opened up avenues, you know, to invite people that, you know, they wouldn't come otherwise. And then when we moved again to a new host a year ago, that again opened up other opportunities to invite people into our current neighborhood. And some of those people have come and gone, and some of them have stuck. So those are the ways.
And that's, I heard you say your current neighborhood. That was a dream of yours, right? To have a small group that was actually meeting in your neighborhood where you live as well?
Well, that was like a vision because, you know, we were in Joseph and Angela's group, and it was pretty cool. We'd drive over there, and that wasn't our neighborhood. But, people come out of their house and, you know, be walking up the hills, you know, so it'd be, you know, kind of, it presents a definite vision. You see people actually coming out of their doors and walking up the hill to meet and talk about God, and that's a vision that's hard to escape. So you obviously want that for your neighborhood, not just for their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps with property value and stuff.
Plus, if they're all Christians, then you know they're going to cut their grass.
Yeah,
and take care
exactly.
Of the house.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, everything.
I get that.
Everything
that.
In love. And, So
what were some obstacles to that? Like, what had to happen for you to fulfill that vision?
So we were praying for that, and we had, our current, like we said, we had the host home, and, we prayed for our neighbors in general, and we had our immediate neighbors we prayed for, but we knew they were Catholic, and so we were always uncomfortable, you know, approaching them about church or anything. And, but we prayed for them, and, you know, one day I was out doing yard work or whatever, and I felt really prompted to go, and, for whatever reason, I think I was praying more that time because I sensed something was happening with our current host and whatever, and I was just praying for some change, and that was about after a year, you know, of being in the group, or almost a year, and I really felt prompted to go, and I just dropped whatever I was doing, I don't know, and went over and talked to him with the deliberate intention of bringing up Crossroads and the church, because we talked about Crossroads just, in our, because it's a big part of our life and small group and whatever. And asked them to come to church, and they were like, yeah, we've been really not liking our church. We haven't been going very often. Yes, it was one of those things. We're like, okay. And they came with us for a couple weeks, and then we're like, hey, about small group. And they came to the small group at that time, at the other host home. And then it was like, a couple weeks of that, and our other host said, we don't feel called to lead anymore. And everybody was kind of praying, so we're like, oh, okay, something will come up. And then our neighbors hosted. They were like, okay, we'll host. And, and then they've gotten more involved. So it just answered that prayer. And then being right beside us kind of took care of the challenge with babysitting, which was great because then we lived right beside them. So now the kids meet. And, again, that's the model we've kind of taken from the Johnsons, too. Our kids meet in our home, and we go walk over to the neighbor's home. And we've had more people from the neighborhood come. So it is starting to be a vision. Some of those people have, actually moved out of state, a couple of them, things like that. And come and not gone, but we've seen, seven people in our neighborhood come at different times to the group, and some of them stayed, some of them didn't, some of them moved, like I said, so it's been good.
That's cool. And I, just so everybody hears that too, I think I've always been struck, I think this is a really creative model for childcare, to have two homes in the same neighborhood. One is your host home where you're actually having small group, but then right next door, right across the street, I think sometimes it's been that's where the children are. And so you are kind of spared. I've been in a lot of groups where the kids are in a different room, maybe even on a different level, but it can still be loud. And so I think that's really creative. I just want to give you guys all a lot of props for that. I think that's really huge. So obviously, if you're doing the childcare thing, you have a lot of young couples. Mm-hmm. But you also have, I understand, someone who's 80, an 80-year-old lady in your group. And how does that work?
Yeah, we aren't really a couples group necessarily, so it's always just been whatever. But yeah, that's one thing that's been good. You know, we invite people. Like I said, some people come, some people don't. But one of the people that came, you know, said there's no way they could work into their schedule. They came for a couple weeks, but they, you know, they were, you know, they have a neighbor that was struggling with a lot of things, and she's an elderly lady, and, you know, so it's like, I think she'd benefit. And so we reached out to her, and, you know, so it's kind of a ministry to her as well. And she's old, and she's said recently, you know, she's a Christian. She's not really connected to Crossroads or anything yet, but she comes and she gets benefit from it. And she said she's never grown, you know, this much spiritually. So I think just being there is a big deal, because people can reach out, and you know, just being able to talk about Christ, as you know, is a, kind of a big thing about. So for her, it's been a big deal too. So
it's encouraging for, I think, any of us, and I think you can still grow the most ever in your life, you know, when you're in your 80s. I think that's pretty cool, actually. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. All right, so we're going to move down to Angela. Angela, share a little bit about your group, and what do you see that has, because Angela's group has actually birthed 2 times in 3 years. So what do you think contributes to that, and would you look at your group?
Well, first I'd say it's Angela and Joseph's group, because we are totally a team on this. He should be up here with me, too. But he was coaching basketball for Cole, so... I would say a lot of prayer and a lot of the focus of group. Joseph does a really good job when a group starts after a birthing process of presenting a covenant, and we all go through the covenant and we take it really seriously. And there's times in our group where we have to pull it back out and reevaluate what we're doing and what our focus is. But one thing we do on the covenant is we anticipate a birthing date. So before we have the apprentice, before we know where the homes are, we say, what do we think our birthing date should be? And some groups will be really aggressive or excited, and they'll say a year, and some groups might say 2, but it's different. And we give a little bit of a time frame, like maybe 12 to 18 months. Okay. And so we just kind of put it out there, and we explain it at the beginning that he always, and together we try to set the stage that that's the purpose, that it, you know, it's hard, and sometimes that conversation might seem a little bit sticky, but even with those brand new people, we talk about the purpose of small group and the fact that we will be birthing, and that we want to have that vision set from day one, and I think that makes a big difference. And like I said, it's before we know who that apprentice is, and sometimes it might be 2 months before our birthing date, and we still don't know who that apprentice is, but God has continuously blessed that and provided exactly what we needed for that group to birth. So
that's cool. That's very, very cool. Yeah. And I understand that you have a huge passion, really both you and Joseph have a huge passion for reaching lost people in your area, and you mentioned praying for them together.
Yes.
How else has that kind of played out for you? What other steps do you do to reach out?
As Jeff said, when we moved into our neighborhood, we just really prayed over our home, but really prayed over our neighbors. And our vision was, right now with young children, we have 3 under the age of 7.
You and Joseph
having 3 kids under the age of 7. We knew at this point we weren't being sent to Africa. I'd love to get there one day, but it's not right now. But my Africa and our Africa was Spring Hill Drive. And so that was our vision from the day we moved in. And I am so passionate about the fact that they're are people right on our street that just need community. You know, they might not know they need it, but they do. And everybody wants to be a part of a group. They might not say they want to be a part of a church group, but they want to be a part of a group. So I think how we present it, when we first moved in, we tried to do once a month of having a family over and just investing in a family. In our generation, it's just unfortunately not very common to be invited over to a family. You know, is your house clean enough? Or do you have enough time? You know, no, you don't have enough time. Your house probably isn't clean enough. Yeah. But opening up your home, people are so thankful. And so we try to invest in people before we do the inviting. And when that happens, then it's not just about filling a seat. It's like they care about me and they want me to be a part of that group. As Jeff said, it's almost become easy because the flag is waved. Every Monday or Tuesday, we've had it on different nights for the past 4 years. They know there's cars in front of our house, whether we have the kids or whether we have the adults. There's always cars for small group, for the some that come from out of the neighborhood, or they see us walking up the hill. And so now it's almost like if you don't invite, you know, are we seclusive and we're not, you know, including people? So now it's almost become a little bit easier. It's still not always comfortable, but we want to make sure that people feel like they can be a part of it. And sometimes that is people, like Jeff said, that might not go to Crossroads, but then it's an avenue where they jump in later. It's not always those people that are sitting next to us in a pew that don't have a small group. We've really found some people that don't have a church. They'll come to the community, the small group first, and then they might plug into the church. So
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. I like the things that you're doing too relationally, mm-hmm. so that people know that you genuinely care about them. Mm-hmm. Speak to the people who feel like they just can't fit one more thing in their life. Like, how do you find time? You've got these three young children, you're, you know, have jobs, you obviously need to spend time as a couple. So how do you make this one more thing fit in your life?
It's been great for Joseph and my marriage because we partner together, and mm-hmm. so it's been really nice to do something with him that's not about our kids or about our jobs or, you know, about it's a project together, and I found that that's been a really good blessing for our marriage. You know, I've heard it said before, like, God doesn't give you more than you have time for, and I've just seen that that is true. Like, as I serve him or as we make time, the other things still can fit, and I just think that God blesses that. I just recently started a full-time teaching job, and I thought, how am I going to still be able to do small group or be away from my kids during the day and then leave them again at night? But I can tell you that God continuously blesses that time, and it's as instrumental for me and for Joseph leading to be at small group, because we, even though we're the leaders, it's, or facilitators is usually what we like to say, we're still being blessed just like the, if not more than those people mm-hmm. sitting around us. And that mm-hmm. just blows my mind that, you know, I need that more than ever, whether I was working or not. I need that time with adults to talk about Jesus, to refocus, to recenter my mind on what's the most important, because everything else can fight for that. And it's just so important.
Yeah. Very cool. And I understand too that as people have birthed out from your group, that you continue to shepherd them, especially as their groups just begin to get started, that you kind of make sure that things are going well. What does that look like in that process?
Just checking in. I know Joseph does a really good job of meeting with the other, we kind of consider ourselves a family because we were with Jason and Heidi and Jeff and Shauna and then Matt Buck's here. And I know the men do a really good job of meeting like once a month, and they go out and have coffee before work starts, just, you know, checking up on each other's groups. So I think the men do a really good job of leading in that way. And I think it's really important because I know as I've spoken with some of the women, it's getting ideas off of each other and it's supporting each other, because there's always going to be the rocks and the bumps when you're leading or any type of ministry. But just continuing to be there for each other and the brainstorming ideas. I run with Heidi on the weekends, and she'll share something our group's doing, like working with the homeless. That's how we got involved in the homeless ministry. Well, now all of our four groups are doing the same homeless ministry on a monthly basis. We just share the month. It's a family, you know, and that's what's really neat. Once you've been in small group with someone, it's very easy to check in. I could maybe not see Jeff's wife for a month or two, but then when I do and we reconnect, it's like that sister in Christ. When you've gone through small group together, and you know when you've been in groups with people, it is like that relationship that is deeper than anything. So it's really important, and we really value the people we've gone through group together and, you know, believe in supporting each other, because it's not always easy.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very cool. And we're going to move down to Annette now. Annette and her husband, Jason, lead a group. It's interesting, as I look down the line, every person up here really represents a couple that is in ministry together, which is very, very cool. So when I address one, you know, I hope you all understand that really it's, I think each person down the line considers it a team effort. So it's very, very cool. Annette, ever since I've met you, it's very apparent to me that you have this heart to connect people with Christ. That just radiates out of you. How does that, like, translate to what you do on a weekend when you come in for services?
I try to really look out into the audience and see who needs to be talked to. So I'm all over the place. I bustle around the church, and I make sure I connect with, especially those that are 20s to 30s, my age range, just to make sure they're connecting, because they have a harder time really connecting and talking to people. And so that's been my mission since we've been here. Jason's on stage a lot, and so he has a hard time being able to get down in time to connect. Mm-hmm. And so I hopefully can pull them in and connect them with him and connect them to a small group. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been my mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually, and just as a little bit of background, at Bridgeville, Dale and I were seeing, God was just bringing all these 20s and 30s, and we had no like real connection point shepherd. And so when Jason and Annette came and Jason became a staff member, it was so cool to see this passion in both of them, really. But like as Annette said, she could put more legs to it on a weekend basis. And like we kind of tag team. I take the lobby and she works like the worship area. And she's so good at just going and meeting people and saying hi and making that connection. When you meet someone in the congregation, like, do you bring up small group right away? I mean, what does that look like to begin to make the ask?
I have before, and it usually fails. So we have transitioned to making sure we connect on a personal level. So there's a few in our group that I made sure, like Angela and Joe, I made sure I connect with them on a weekly basis before really bringing up small group or making sure I'm relating to them in some way. But we've really tried to make sure we're inviting them to a meal, to our home, to coffee. I connect with, you know, the single ladies, or if it's a couple, bring them over. We really make sure, like you guys said, you know, have a relationship with them first before introducing small group, because they're not interested to get involved in a group of people they don't know if they don't know you either. So that's really been effective.
Yeah, that's very true. Your group just started in May. It's already birthed. And each of those two groups already have apprentices. So when you look at that, like, how has God been raising up leaders within your group?
Well, there's just a fervor. I mean, it's not even us. I know it's not us. It's God has put a fervor within the young adults in our church to want to be leaders, to want to grow. And he's allowing us to be a part of that. And so I say, okay, you know, and so, like, I'm trying to pour into Angela and Joe to get them ready, you know, and just people are ready. I can't explain it.
Mm-hmm. Anything, any other strategies, any other thing that you want to share with people just on how your group has grown? Anything else that, like, I might have missed?
I mean, I feel like our group really reflects Angela's, just the way she explained her group, and I just think, like, keeping your hearts open to being friendly, to inviting, to wanting to grow along with people, like, that's really what grows, and just prayer being constant and really putting yourself out there. And I really feel like all the young adults in our church are wanting that, and so just being ready and available.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very, very cool. Thank you. Jason. Okay, so metaphorically, you're kind of like the grandpa up here. I just want to know.
Am I that old?
No pressure, but we're looking for some serious wisdom now. You like have the third generation out here, so that's why the grandpa analogy there. So you and your group, Jason, do a really rather unique thing on the weekends that I was hoping you'd share about meeting prior.
We've done that sometimes. I don't want to overinflate it and make it sound too spiritual, but yeah, we have. I think for me, a struggle that I've had as a leader is I work in a full-time ministry, and I'm surrounded by Christian people. That's a problem for me, because I haven't been able to identify where are places, you know, the mantra of the speed of the leader, speed of the team. So where can I invite? How can I reach out? We live in an older community, so most of the people around us aren't really in our demographic. They don't want to really hang out with us as much. My kids puke on them and things like that. So, you know, so it's been a challenge. And so one of the things I've had to do, and we've had to do as a team, if I want to model it, I've had to try to figure out how to connect in other places. So the two places I've found is, number one, my son just starting soccer, you know, so meeting the other dads and the people, and I've helped out coaching that. And then here in church, so one of the things that we've prayed about in our group, and a couple times we've actually gotten together before service to just pray about who are the people that are around us and just how to quickly respond to whatever the Holy Spirit is kind of leading you to do. What are you kind of reasonably certain that God's asking you to do next, and just go ahead and do it. So, and it's not even about our group. So this past Sunday, we sit kind of in the same seat all the time. It happens to be like the little kids section, you know, because we sit in the back row with our infant, and there's a lot of other, you know, people with infants or young kids that tend to sit in the back so they can escape when there's a problem. And so the couple sitting right in front of us have a young, you know, child. And so we just start talking, and I really felt God just saying, you know, ask them about, you know, what they're doing and are they in a group. And I asked, and we were kind of, I tried to, in that moment, in the brief meet and greet, and then after the service, tried to just connect to them, see who they were, where they lived, and I found that they lived in Oakdale. And so my initial thing was, well, wait a minute, that's much better. I actually invited them to Joseph's group. So I don't know if they're going to come or not, because they initially were like Annette said, like I mentioned it, and they're like, well, we're interested, but not that interested, not that yet. So, but I also try to recognize, like, when we birthed initially, it was numerically, but it was a lot more geographically. You know, we had several people like on our end of Moon, and then we were all meeting 25 minutes over in Oakdale, and there was just disconnect in that group, and we wanted to meet more in our community, and we haven't birthed since then. Our group hasn't. We've had a lot. We started with eight people. Three of those couples have moved out of town, so we went from eight down to almost the two of us, and have been rebuilding, and now we're in a place to where we should be birthing again, and I need to probably, as a leader, do a better job of communicating that. So,
Helen gave me the note that you're a people watcher. Like, once you're praying, what do you notice?
Yeah, that's like the one week, and again, this is I want to show my deficiencies to show I'm not perfect in it. But the 1 week we're sitting there, and a different couple right in front of us, Pastor Steve happened to be preaching something about being outside of community and the loneliness, and I saw the girl elbow her husband right in front of me. I'm like, oh. And so I turn to my wife and I go, I think they need us to talk to him. And so, but what happened is, you know, so I'm praying about it and I'm like trying to build up the courage because it's a risk. I realize that. And I'm pretty outgoing. And for me, if it's a risk, I know for many people it's a risk. So what happened is, like, as immediately after the service ended, someone came from behind me, tapped me on the shoulder. I turned, we talked for about a second. I turned back, they were gone. So I was like, I blew it. But that's where we just try to do that, because I realize, like, again, I'm surrounded by Christians, so where can I reach out? And that's where just being attentive to that, and just, I literally was like, he said that, I've been thinking about who can reach out, he said that, she nudged him, I go, oh, there we go. So that's what I'm trying to do as a leader, to model that as best I can, and Heidi, same thing with they've talked about, I mean, she,
Heidi's my wife,
and so last week, I first introduced to the couple, and then she kind of, you know, finished talking to him, so it was a little bit of it's always a team effort trying to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even, like, when you meet people, just, you make the introduction, you can hand them off to your spouse, or even another group leader. I think just any way we can get people connected, and I love the fact that, you know, when you met somebody, you actually thought they were a better fit for another group, you know, because I think as leaders, we can do that for each other. I've made that handoff, you know, after service. I meet a couple, and I think, oh, they'd be perfect for, you know, and I think that's great to be that aware. And so when have you seen those weekends that your group does meet together before the service to pray? Do you feel like it changes your interactions with people after that? And
Yeah, I mean, most of the time that prayer is really like it's been just like I said, a handful of times that's happened before. Most of the times it's in our group that week, just really praying about, hey, this is a great, because we're all kind of like, many people are the same. We all kind of sit in the same sections and, you know, we don't do a good job of maybe going to different areas. But we've noticed that some of the people in those sections are, you know, tend to be in the same section. So that's our way to reach out. And I do think that just by being more aware of it, just by praying about it, you become much more in tune to then what God is doing. So because last weekend I went into the service expecting that we were going to try to meet somebody, you know, and it's a risk, but it's actually kind of exciting, you know, because now it makes the Christian life come a little bit more alive again when you're thinking like, okay, God, who are you going to put around me today that you want to do something? You take that risk and you get butterflies in your stomach, you get nervous, and then you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then you just kind of do it a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I have heard that you said we do our part, we pray, and then God does his part. And I hear that consistently throughout really each of you on the panel. It's like, you know, we're doing our part, we're inviting God to move, and then we get the benefit of watching him do it, which is really cool, and getting to be a part of it, which is always really exciting, like you're saying. The butterflies might be there in the beginning, but then we get to be a part of it, and it's very, very cool. Very quickly, and any of you, you've all experienced a birth in your group, and I think, you know, as a group leader, that's one of the things that is the most difficult to navigate, because just as Helen said before we broke up, sometimes people don't even want to break into twos to four for a group discussion, and the idea of actually doing a group birth can be very daunting. I won't see my friends anymore. I mean, you know, if you've been a small group leader long enough, you've heard them all. How did you prepare your group emotionally and just spiritually to get them ready to make to do the process. Do you, any pearls of wisdom?
We began to prepare for it just by explaining it to them because our group was getting so big and we had a lot of kids. But I just wanted to share that I tried to control the move. Like, I tried to be very specific. Like, we were going to try to do it by location. But Jason really felt God saying, why don't you guys pray and ask God where you should go? And God really split the group perfectly the way he wanted it to be split. Originally, our apprentices were, you know, I thought they would go in the other group. And I just thought that was interesting, you know, that I let go of control and God did it. But really, logistically, like, was what we tried to do.
Right.
Because we thought that made sense. And everybody actually responded very, very well to it because they noticed that we needed it. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Another thing that we've done that I think has been helpful is once we know who the apprentices are, mm-hmm. and we know, or God's revealed who the host homes are going to be, we have a meeting just with those people. So when, you know, Jeff and Shauna were, you know, the apprentices, we met with them, and then we met with the host home that would be hosting their group, and then us and our host homes. And then it's a little bit of the backbone of the group. So then we're kind of discussing it before the whole group, as far as not saying who's going where by any means, but just praying together, just really getting out some of the questions that maybe the apprehension that the apprentice might be feeling, the host homes might be feeling. And it's just, it's always been really nice to do that. And a lot of times after that meeting, Joseph and I walk away kind of like what you said, where it's different than what we thought. You know, this past time, it was the first time that our neighborhood was going to have two groups within our neighborhood. Before, each of our bursts had been outside of the neighborhood, and then we thought, ooh, how is it going to be two groups in a neighborhood, you know? And what will that look, and how are we going to have, you know, our babysitters now babysit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They have 4 days of babysitting. These babysitters that we started when they were in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade now, you know, are all week long babysitting different small groups. So we realized with discussing with our apprentice and our other host homes that we needed to switch nights. And then it ended up being, we didn't know who was going where or what host home, but due to saying, okay, they want Tuesdays, that host home wants Tuesdays, Joseph and I will take Monday, our host home said we'll take Monday, mm-hmm. and it ended up just being a day of the week. And that actually split it pretty well because, you know, some wanted Monday, some wanted Tuesday, blah, 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 Monday Night Football, competing. You know, we had some different, you know, different things going on and different dynamics. But Joseph and I together couldn't have come up with what a group and the backbone of the leadership of those two groups could do together. So a lot of prayer and a lot of just open hearts about, we don't know what this looks like, let's make a plan, you know.
Very cool. Thank you. Anything the gentlemen want to add? All right. Thank you so much for being a part of the panel. And I'm sure these guys are available if you want to pick their brains a little bit during lunch. But just join me in thanking them. Thank you. So there are questions, follow-up questions in your booklets. Helen, what do you want to do? How long? 15 minutes? Okay. So if you can talk about these around your table, have a little bit of a larger discussion, or do you want them to break up again?
I was going to say, why don't you go ahead and pray for the lunch?
Okay. Are we eating back in here, Helen? Bringing the food in here?
There are boxed lunches. You have the choice of turkey or roast beef wraps, and there's also a big salad. Your water bottles are your water. If you would like to have a nicer beverage, you're welcome to purchase it in Nico's in our cafe. But I would like to pray for us, and then we'll have our group discussion, and you can get your lunch whenever you want.
All right,
and then we're back in here, like, starting again at 12:30.
Okay. All right, terrific.
You pray.
All right, I'll pray for lunch. Father God, I thank you so much for bringing everybody together today. It's so good to be around other leaders, to be energized, and to just know that we're not alone in ministry. Father, is a joy. And Father, we thank you for your presence here with us this morning and on into the afternoon. God, we thank you for the chance to be with you, to hear from you, to be refreshed by you. And Father, I pray for this time of lunch that we're going to have, for the food. Father, we ask it that you use it to strengthen our bodies, to strengthen us for ministry, Father, and be present over every conversation that we have over lunch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.